Corinthians chapter 9, and we're going to read verse 6 through 11. Praise God. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. Amen. And I woke up this morning, and it doesn't happen very often, but I woke up this morning and the title of the message was right there. And I knew what I was going to preach. I didn't know the whole scope of it, and I'm not going to preach a long time tonight, but I want to preach this just like I received it here this morning, and I want to title this, When the Want To. Everybody said the want to. When the want to passes the have to. Everybody said the have to. The want to and the have to. Praise God. We're going to serve God for a reason and a purpose. Amen. And I want to serve him with joy. Amen. I want to serve him with joy, unspeakable and full of glory. God, I thank you today for the word of God. I thank you for your presence tonight. Open our hearts and our minds. Give us ears to hear the word of God. Give us courage to obey the word of God today. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. God bless you. You can be seated tonight. And we have spoken of this in times past, but it is always true that the reason that we do things is a very powerful thing. Motives are a very powerful thing. Reasons are very powerful. And the reasons can range from, I have to do this, or I want to do this, everything in between. And the reason that we do things ranges in many, many areas of our life, from the school that we go to, the job that we're on, our family, the chores that are placed before us every week, and the way that we serve God and the way that we do his will. All of these things are done for reasons, and it's going to be there whether we realize it or not, whether we admit it or not. The reason that we are here tonight, the purpose, the reason in our heart that we worship God and that we are seeking for his will in our lives is very, very important. Amen. And begin to look at this and begin to ponder it. The important different certain aspects of the kingdom of God. And I begin to ask myself, what is the very thing that we should seek for? What do we need to seek for? And what is the thing that is going to be very important? Maybe not the most important, but right there, close to the very important part of serving God, and I could even go into those other areas that I spoke of there, home, job, family, school, whatever it is that we're talking about, and what is the most important thing that we need to do? Amen. I came to the conclusion that what we do, we need to do it as much as possible. And I want to focus on our walking with the Lord and doing the will of God. The thing that we need to do or to seek for is to serve the Lord with joy and gladness. Praise God. To have the joy of the Lord is a strong, strong position. Amen. In fact, the joy of the Lord is our strength, according to Scripture. And so I want to be strong. The Bible says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. He told Joshua, be strong. Amen. Very courageous. And that is the thing I think tonight. I feel the Holy Ghost already here. Amen. That we need to seek for the joy in serving God. Amen. Too often we go to Pentecostal churches, apostolic Pentecostal holiness churches. Amen. We see long sleeves and long skirts and long faces. Amen. But I don't think we ought to have long faces in serving God. I think we ought to have a smile on our heart, on our face from our heart. Amen. And to serve the Lord with joy. Amen. To do this, I believe that we must consider, some things, and we must have a considerable amount of self-examination. Now, I'm just going to get into it here tonight. It may just turn into a teaching time. Amen. Whatever it ends up being is fine with me. I'm just going to give you what I feel like God gave to me today. Amen, that we need to have a certain amount of self-examination. Amen, that kind of self-examination that comes from a sincere heart that will reveal to you and I, or rather that will allow God to reveal to you and I anything that would hinder our joy. Well, praise God. Anything that would hinder my joy in serving God. Amen. And don't get quiet on me here tonight. Amen. It's a whole lot better to have the right motive and reason than to trudge through. Amen. It's a whole lot better to say I want to rather than to say I have to. Well, praise God. If I want to go to heaven, I have to serve God. We've heard that before. If I want to be saved, I have to have the Holy Ghost. We've heard that before. Amen. But I would like to look at it a little differently. God has given me an opportunity to go to heaven, and so therefore I want to serve the Lord. God has given me the opportunity to have the Holy Ghost. Amen. I don't have to have it. I get to have it. I want to have it. Praise God. I want to serve God. I want to be in His will. Amen. The two are so opposed to each other, but sometimes we don't really notice them. And little things can creep in and hinder our joy. Amen. I believe that self-examination, amen, will reveal inner motives and reasons why we do what we do. Well, praise God. Sometimes they're hidden from us because the heart is deceitful. Amen. The heart can deceive you and tell you one thing when it's really another thing. Thank God for the preaching of the Word of God, because it goes down to the joints and the marrow. It is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Praise God. I need to know what my intents are. I need to know what my motives are. I need to know what the reason is that I do what I do for God, or that I do in life itself. Amen. And we look at the Scripture here tonight. I really want to just look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9, the Scripture that we looked at here tonight. And it says, I say, he which soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly. And he that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Praise God. How many of us want to just barely get by? I want to see your hand tonight. Amen. How many would love to have a bountiful life and have more than enough? I got my hand up. Praise God. Why? Well, there's a lot of reasons. I'm not going to go into those tonight. But why in the world then would the Scripture tell us that you can be sparing in your experience, or you can be bountiful? Who in their right mind would want to do it sparingly? Amen. When there's an opportunity before us, when there is seed to be sown, when there is a field to plant the seed in, why would we want to do it sparingly? Why would we want to say, well, I'm really not that interested in it? I want to just say tonight, what we need to do is have some self-examination and ask ourselves, why would I want to do it sparingly? Amen. I'm not interested in a sparing walk with God. I want a bountiful walk with God. Well, praise the Lord. We can sow sparingly. That's the have-tos. Or we can sow bountifully. Those are the want-tos. Praise God. And I want to tonight. Anybody else want to tonight? Praise God. But there's going to be a reason why. There's going to be a motive that you're doing this for. Amen. And what we do sparingly or bountifully is going to take place because of what is purposed in our heart. Amen. What motives? Amen. Or what reasons? We've got to ask ourselves what motives or motivates rather somebody to sow sparingly. They're putting in the time. They're doing some sort of investment. They are giving. They are spending time. There's a host of other things. Amen. Why spend the time if your heart isn't in it? But I'm telling you, we're living in a day when there are those that come to the house of God, but their heart's not in it. Praise God. And then there are those that seemingly just have the joy of the Lord and dive in and just do the work of God. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, I'm not preaching a message of condemnation, but maybe this is just a message of self-examination. Amen. Because the Scripture says, every man according as he purposeth in his heart. I believe that's verse 7 there. So let him give. And so we purpose in our heart. Amen. And when you purpose in your heart, you are literally taking some time to think about this before you do it. You're sitting there and you're thinking about, do I want to come on? I'm just going to use this, all right? I'm not trying to lay a guilt trip on anybody. Amen. But you're thinking about it and you're saying in your mind, am I going to go at 6 or 7 o'clock on Thursday night and Friday night and help out with the taco dinner? And nobody hears the words that you're thinking about. You're not talking to anybody about it, probably. But in your mind, you're thinking, you know what? I'm really tired. You know what? I've done this so many times before. They won't miss me if I'm not there. And things begin to go through your mind. Somebody can help me here tonight. You know that I'm preaching the truth. Amen. And then you think about, well, if I don't go, what are people going to think of me? If I don't show up, are they going to talk about me behind my back? And you think about that. And then all of a sudden, with a deep sigh, you say, I'm going to go. I'm going to go. I'm going to be there. And you walk through the door. Amen. And behind you is somebody that really is excited about it. Amen. A new convert that's never been in a taco dinner before in their life, and they think it's a spiritual endeavor. Amen. And they're about ready to talk in tongues when they go over and start making Indian tacos. And they're coming in with a joy in their heart and excitement. Amen. And they're, praise the Lord, brother. Amen. Isn't God good? And the other one's coming in like this. Checking the clock. Amen. I only got 45 minutes and then I'm blasting this place. Amen. I'm out of here. And I'm going to go and get a hot bath or something like that. Amen. And so we begin to think about things in our heart. You know I'm preaching the truth to you tonight. Praise God. And we spend time in our heart, amen, thinking about these things. Well, I have to do it, amen. I don't see any other recourse, and I'm telling you, there are times when you have to decide, I'm going to do this even though I don't want to do this. And that's a part of life, amen. You go to work on the job because you have to, amen. Not necessarily because you want to, amen. Now, it's wonderful if you want to, and you get up in the morning singing, amen, the company motto. And before you get there, amen, your car's just a-rocking, and you're ready to go to work, amen. Yeah. I can see it right now. Amen. And Deontay's, he's just cruising on his way to work. Amen. Ready to just jump in with all 4 feet and just hit the ground a-running. Amen. It doesn't usually happen that way, though. Amen. The whole team assembles together, and they're rubbing their eyes. Amen. Some are combing their hair because they didn't have time to do that. Amen. And we get this mentality of have to. I'm telling you, that's all right sometimes. But folks, I'm telling you, it's not the will of God for us to live our lives under the spirit of have to. Well, praise God. You might have to, but there is a better way. Because when you have to do something, usually you sow sparingly. I'm just going to do what I'm supposed to do, and that's it. Amen. Oh, my. There's been times I've gone to work. I remember welding in a particular place in Boston, and I was the youth president of the district. I was the assistant pastor of the church. I taught and preached on Sunday morning, both. 2 messages every Sunday morning, amen, and we did fundraisers, and we did all sorts of things. I preached once a week on the street on Sunday, and so therefore, when I get up on Monday to go to work, I was tired. And I remember being so tired, I was welding. And I put my helmet down and I was welding, and I fell asleep while I was welding. Amen. That's a little bit dangerous, but, you know, just it looks like you're working, but you're really not working. Amen. Take your rivet gun and just go over to a piece of metal every now and then. Brr, brr. And then the rest of the time, just sit there and watch for the boss. Amen. And, oh, boy, Brother Troy's over there working his head off. But he's just doing the minimum to get by. Some of you know what I'm talking about. I know the rest of you are so excited about what you do every day. Amen. But, folks, I'm telling you, we cannot afford to let that spirit get into our walk with God and what we do for God. Amen. I don't want to just sow sparingly. I want to sow bountifully. Amen. I want to reap bountifully from God. Amen. But I want to do it with the right spirit and attitude. Amen. And the Bible says, let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Praise God. That's not just talking about your money tonight, but there's a word that comes out in Scripture, and it's constraint. Amen. Not by constraint. Amen. Not grudgingly or of necessity. And that word constraint there means an irresistible force. Amen. Any force or power, physical or moral, which compels to act or to forbear action. Amen. That says an awful lot right there. Amen. It's a compelling force that says you have to do this. The Scripture does that to us. Amen. It says that without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. It says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Amen. There are absolutes in the Word of God that we have to do if we're going to go to heaven. Praise the Lord. The Jews called them the negative commandments. Amen. Because it said, thou shalt not. Amen. Doesn't give us the opportunity to like it or not. This is the way it is, and we must do this in order to please God. Amen. He said, see that they wash at the laver, that they die not. Amen. There's no room, there's no wiggle room there. Amen. There's no way to compromise that situation. I have to do this. But praise God, He does not leave us there. Amen. He gives us the opportunity to serve the Lord with joy and gladness. 1 Peter 5:2, you don't have to turn there tonight, but he says, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly. Everybody said willingly. Amen. Not for filthy lucre or for the money, but of a ready mind. Amen. And so every man purposes in his heart to give. What am I going to give? Am I going to give the minimum? Amen. I'm telling you, you can give the minimum and say I'm doing the will of God, but it is sowing sparingly. Amen. The minimums are not, actually the Word of God is the minimums in a lot of places. It gives us a latitude, if you please, to go beyond the minimums and to say, I really want to be blessed. Amen. The Bible talks about worshiping the Lord, doesn't it? But does it say that you're supposed to worship the Lord 60 seconds and that's good enough? Well, we gotta put some measurement on it if we're going to minister to the minimum crowd. Amen. And so therefore we say, come on, folks, we have to praise God. And so the minimum crowd says, all right, I have to do it. And so I'm going to lift my hands and I'm going to do it. That's the minimum. I've done it. I've done what the Bible says. I've obeyed God. Amen. We can say that. And there is a reaping from obedience. There is a reaping, but it is a small reaping. Amen. It is some, but it's not the greatest that you can have, I guess is the way I should say it tonight. Amen. And so we have to purpose in our heart. Amen. I don't want to worship grudgingly. Amen. I don't want somebody telling me, you know, that you have to worship. And if you don't worship, I'm going to be angry with you. I've seen it. Amen. Where it's like, come on, you must worship. Let's get up here. Get up here. Come on, men, up here. Lift your hands. Amen. Somebody say amen. Somebody say hallelujah. And I can see it right now. A group of men that have come because of that motivation. And when they say praise the Lord, they say praise the Lord. Say I love you, Jesus. Lift your hands. All right, you can be seated. We've worshiped God. Oh my, I'm telling you tonight, that's not the way to do it, folks. That's not the way to do it. Amen. I want to preach tonight when the want to passes the have to. Amen. And when we get a hold of this, amen, it will be, as the scripture says here, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. True joy is what you do, amen, in your heart or from your heart. Praise God. The true joy in what you do is a heart matter. Amen. It has a lot less to do with others than what you do with yourself or between you and God. Hope I'm making sense here tonight. Amen. It has a lot less. Well, nobody else is worshiping, so why should I? Nobody else is saying, thank you, Jesus, so why should I? Nobody else is running the aisle, so why should I? Amen. I'm going to go down to the least common denominator here. Amen. We're going to find out what is the smallest number that we can get a hold of, and we're all going to comply to that number. Amen. But I'm telling you, that's the want to, or that's the have to, rather. Amen. I'm only doing it because somebody else is doing it. I'm coming to church because my parents go to church there. I'm praying because my parents told me I need to pray. Come on, young people. Amen. The pastor's preaching to you tonight. Amen. That's okay for a while. Train up a child in the way that he should go. And when he's old, he will not depart from that. There are times that we have to say, you have to go to church. Well, I don't want to go to church. I want to stay home and play with my Wii. Sorry. Shut it off. We're headed to church. Sit in the back seat with the bottom lip out, amen. And when they get to church, they sit in the pew. I've seen it. You've seen it, amen. The reason is they don't really understand the blessings of going beyond the minimums, amen. And there is a blessing of going beyond the minimums. If you'll fall in love with what you do, the Bible says that when you're working on your job, you're actually working for God. And so when we work for God, we ought to be happy about that. God's given me the opportunity to work for Him. I don't want to just do the minimums and get by, but I want to do my very best. Well, praise God. I want to put my heart into it. Amen. I want to see the good in what I am doing because it is a heart matter tonight. Amen. I want my want to pass by the have to. Matthew 5:19, here's what comes out of our heart. For out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. Amen. Spiritual and physical perversion comes out of our heart. Proverbs 4:23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So the heart is the heart of the matter tonight. And what we do, we must do it, and we do it, whether we realize it or not, we do it from our heart. And out of the heart, amen, evil thoughts, that's what we think, that's what comes from our heart. Amen. Adulteries and murders and all of those things, amen. So it's not just what we think, it's what we do. Praise God. Blasphemies. It is actually what we believe must come from our heart as well. Well, praise the Lord. Well, I don't believe in holiness. Why? Because I don't want to live that way. It comes out of your heart. It's not a matter of doctrinal truth, because you can preach doctrinal truth and teach people the Word of God and make it as plain as a bright sunshiny day, and they'll say, I don't believe that. I don't believe that. Well, all right, I get it. I know where you're coming from now. Amen. But I'm telling you what, you put handcuffs on them and put them in front of a firing squad and say, all right, and now do you believe it? Oh, man, I believe it. I believe it. Oh, I believe it. All right, let them go. Whew. Praise God. Fell before the king and he said, oh, have compassion on me. Oh, great king. Oh, wonderful Lord. Oh, great master, please forgive me of my debt. And the man had compassion and forgave him of his debt. And then he left there, but his heart was not changed. The motive and the reason for repentance was not really the right thing because he found a fellow brother of his who owed him $15, grabbed him by the throat, threw him into prison, would not have compassion nor forgiveness upon him. Why? I'll tell you why. He was living by the minimums. He was just going through the motions. Amen. We cannot afford to go through the motions of living for God because out of the heart come the issues of life. It's not just bad things that come out of the heart. Good things can come out of the heart. Well, praise God. When the want to comes from the heart, I'm telling you what, there are good things that are on the way. Amen. And so how can I be excited and joyful about the things that I do in life, about my family, about my friends, about my job, about my church, about the God that I serve? How can I serve God with joy? Amen. With gladness in my heart. Amen. I've got to have some self-examination and I've got to get to the heart of the matter. Amen. Of why I'm doing what I'm doing. And if your heart is sincere and tender before God, you're going to start writing some things down on the piece of paper. Amen. And before it's over with, amen, you're going to find that scripture in Luke 6:38 where Jesus said, "Give, and it shall be given unto you." Good measure, pressed down, heaped up, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. Now it gets quiet. Amen. It gets quiet when we talk about giving. Amen. Oh, well, I have my life. Point made. Amen. It's all about me. It's not about God. It's not about the work of God, but it's all about me. And I'm telling you what will happen with that kind of a heart. Amen. Eventually, it's going to be, I have to do this. I don't want to do it. Amen. I'm of age. I live in America. I can do whatever I want to, and I decide not to do it anymore. Well, praise God. I love the Lord. Anybody else love the Lord? I'm so glad that I'm in His kingdom. So thankful that He filled me with the Holy Ghost. So thankful that He has blessed. But when Jesus said, give, the want to, or the have to, folks, say, well, now, how much is that? Please tell me a figure. Write it down so I'll know exactly how much I'm supposed to do to be right. Amen. If it comes down to tithes, I'm going to give my tithes, and I get my calculator out, and it ends up being $10.12. I'm going to give $10.12. Amen. Even if there's another penny laying on the table, I'm just going to put it in my pocket because I don't owe that. Amen. It's not what I have to do. Amen. I'm just going to do that. And of course, the tithe is pretty simple. Amen. If you can't figure it out, just get a cheap calculator or one that's on your phone. You can figure it out pretty quickly what 10% of your income is. And that's what the scripture says. That's a minimum. And then it says tithes and offering. Amen. Where we really see ourselves is in the offering part. Because in the offering, there is no set percentage. There is no set amount. That's where the want to comes in. That's where the blessings come. Amen. It's not in the have-to part of living for God, but it is in the want-to part of living for God. Well, I'm going to give an offering. I had 13 cents instead of 12, and so I'm putting the penny in for the offering. And you know what? Jesus said, the measure that you measure is going to be measured back to you. And so if you put a penny in a little thimble and you pour that out in the offering plate, you know what? God's going to fill that little thimble up, and he's going to give it back to you. That's what Scripture says. Amen. He's going to give it back to you. And so, man, I don't know. I've been given to God faithfully, but I'll tell you, all I've been getting back is a thimble from God. I don't know why. I don't understand why, Nathan is so blessed. Amen. And nobody says nothing. Amen. But you know what you're giving, and you know what you're doing it for and why you're doing it. Amen. I don't want to go through life just getting a thimble. You know, we sing that song, "Here's my cup, Lord, fill it up." And I think of this little teacup and somebody holding it with their little finger up. "Here's my cup, Lord, fill it up." And, oh, thank you, Lord. Amen. Like a little tea parlor that we're sitting at. Amen. And God's going to fill up my little cup. Oh, God, help us. I want him to fill my cup up. But I'll tell you what, when I come to church, I want to bring a 55-gallon barrel and just plop it down right there and say, "God, I'm going to do my best to fill that up with giving, because I know when it's all said and done, you're going to fill it up. You're going to press it down. You're going to get in there and jump up and down on top of it, pour some more until it's flowing over." Amen. That's the kind of results I want in living for God. Anybody else feel that way tonight? I feel that way tonight. The only way that I can experience that is I have to have the want to and not the have to spirit. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. And if you're asking how much should I give, amen. The minimums are there in the Scriptures. And that's not just talking about your money, amen, but it's talking about your time. It's talking about your talents as well. Well, praise God. Amen. The only currency that we really have to spend is our time. And the Bible says to redeem the time, amen, to make the most of our time. Praise God. Well, I'm going to give God an hour on Thursday night. I'm really working that over, aren't I? I'm going to give God an hour on Thursday night to help out with the taco dinner. I know I could be changing the oil in the car, but I'll do it because the pastor asked me to do it. Amen. I'm going to give my time. Well, you know what? When God has a little extra time, he's going to give you an hour of his time. Amen. I really don't want to. I've got some other places I could be and some other things that I could do, but I'll throw a crumb off the table for you. Amen. I don't want to be a dog on the underneath side of the table just waiting for a crumb. Amen. He said, if you believe in me, you can sit down and have supper with me. I want to be at the table. I want to say, please pass that T-bone. Amen. Please pass those garlic mashed potatoes. Amen. Please pass the food over this way and just chow down. Amen. Why go to the Texas Roadhouse and they say, here's your table, and then sit under the table and wait for somebody to throw the peanut scraps over the side? Where'd you go to dinner? Oh, went to Texas Roadhouse. What'd you have? Peanut shells. Oh, God, help us here tonight. I know it's Wednesday night. I know you're tired. Well, praise God. I'm going to try to give you a retread on your tire. Amen. But I'm telling you, folks, we need to come to the house of God like there's a big steak on the table. Amen. I'm going to get everything I want from God tonight, everything I need from God. And it's not just because I'm getting it back from God. It's because it's in my heart. Well, praise the Lord. Deuteronomy 6:5, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart." All of your heart. That's what it comes down to, is a heart matter. Amen. Paul, a successful man of God. Philippians 3:7. He said, "What things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. Amen. He said, I just want to be found in Him. I'm doing what I'm doing because I want to get close to Him. I want to do this. Amen. He knocked me off my high horse on the road to Damascus. Praise God. And He talked to my heart. He filled me with the Holy Ghost. He showed me that it's not in the righteousness of the law, but in the righteousness of the Spirit of God. He totally revolutionized my way of thinking about serving God. And now I have an opportunity. I have a golden opportunity. And I'm not going to do it because He told me I have to do it. Yes, I'm doing it because of that, but it goes beyond that. When my want to passes my have to, that's where it gets really exciting. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. I believe that when you're married, you ought to hold your wife's hand every now and then. See, some of you don't believe that. I can tell just by the way you're looking at me. Oh, okay. Okay. Praise the Lord. You young men on the front row, take note of this. Amen. Every once in a while, you need to hold her hand. After you get, I mean, even when you're dating, that's okay. But you know what I mean. You want to see if she's alive. Yeah. So, amen. So, this tall, dark, handsome young man takes Tessa out on a date, and he says, Tessa, Pastor said, I'm supposed to hold your hand every once in a while. And Tessa, all of a sudden he gets slapped in the face. No, that's not the way it's going to happen. I'm telling you right now. Oh, I'm so excited that you're going to hold my hand. Wonderful. Awesome. Been married 25 years. Honey, I heard Wednesday night, Pastor said I'm supposed to hold your hand. Let me have your hand. Have a good night. Amen. I'm going to bed. I'm tired. Ooh, she's doing cartwheels in the living room. She's so excited that it's just so wonderful. Amen. You know what the difference is? The difference is that that person is a have to. I have to do this. I have to do this. Amen. But there's something about it, Fred, when she least expects it. That's the best time. Strike while the iron's hot, the Bible, or not the Bible. Somebody said that. Strike while the iron's hot. Amen. When there's some excitement going, you slip your hand over and look her in the eye and smile like that. And she'll look back and go, ooh. And she'll melt right there. Amen. I'm giving you a secret here tonight about a joyful life or a boring life. Going through life happy or going through life miserable. It's not the will of God for us to go through life being miserable. Amen. You say, well, but you know what? How many times am I supposed to hold her hand? He only said to do it. He didn't say how many times. He didn't say what time. He didn't say what day, what month, what year. I know I've got the principle down, but I just don't really understand how to make it work. Well, I'm telling you tonight, the way to make it work is to forget all of the minimums. And when you get a hold of the principle, give. Hey, I want to give. I'm giving extra. I'm going over and above. Amen. You know what? Pastor asked us to come for an hour. I'm going to stay for an hour and a half. I'll stay. And you don't have to, and nobody's going to think anything about you if you don't. All right? I'm just using that as an example tonight. I guess I have been working it over pretty good. I've seen it where the dating rules of the church are on the bulletin board, like the Ten Commandments. And it's probably the bulletin board's made out of stone, I'm guessing, and it was carved in there. Thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. And it's all, you know, hey, well, you know what? There's some things that we need to say that are right and not right. Amen. But I'll guarantee you in the dating rules, it doesn't say, thou shalt smile at her. Because I've seen them on the bulletin board, and that's not written there. Thou shalt wink at her every now and then. It's not on there. Oh, we can't do that because we'll get carried away, and she might wink back at you. And then what are you going to do? Wink twice. Praise God. Well, hallelujah. This will keep your marriage intact. Mm-hmm. And it's not all on the guy's shoulders either, ladies. You ever thought about just winking at him? Hey, good looking. Come to church, sit down on the pew. Okay, we get to hear Deontay say, isn't God good again? All right. We'll let Brother Reed get done exhorting us. And then we'll settle back down. But we got to go through the motions. But I just don't understand. It's just not joyful living for God. I'm trying to give us something here tonight. Amen. Amen. Where your want to passes your have to. Hebrews 12 and 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He endured all that he did for joy. You know what? There was a point in time where he said, please let this cup pass from me. I don't want to do this. But then it broke. And he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And he got to the place where he wanted to do it because he saw in the future the blessings that came from it and the joy of a church that would worship him and love him and live for him. Amen. Jesus said, Luke 17 and 33, whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it. And whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. Amen. There's my amen man right here. Stand up, Gavin. Praise God. He's excited about the Lord. Amen. I like that. I didn't have to tell him to say amen. That's right. Amen. Amen. You know what? We'll get after this. We'll have a revival, just me and you. Amen. Amen. Praise God. And I see him during service, and he's always excited. Now, Hunter's a different story. Stand up, Hunter. He comes into church, and his dad says, sit over here, and he sits right there. Pray, and he prays. Worship God. He worships God. I say it's great serving the Lord, isn't it, Hunter? You glad you're here tonight? Amen. Kind of like, hey, I'll tell you what, guys, we got Mr. Excitement here, and we have the want to man, And we have the have-to man right here. And I'll tell you what. If you guys will run the aisles in this church two times. We talked about this before church already. Amen. 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 And you run around this church, you're going to be blessed. Go, man, go. There's one. Uh-oh. He's going to pass him up. Come on, let's. He's looking at his watch. Woo! Let's pray for Hunter tonight. Let's pray for this boy. Amen. Amen. Stand with me tonight. You know what God's called us to do, folks? He's called us to run a race. He's called us to run the race. And you're fooling yourself if you think that in running this race, there's not going to be obstacles along the way. And the ones that are willing to go over those obstacles, figure out how to get over that obstacle and continue on. Those are the ones that are going to make it to the end of the race. Those are the want-to crowd. The want-to saints. But the have-to ones are going to stop at the... How am I going to do this? That's a tall wall. I'm thinking about it. It's 19 feet to the top of this peak right here, from there to the floor, 19 feet roughly. Brother Reed, they're putting that wall up down there in Texas, getting bids on it. You guys need to put some bids on that. Painting it, that would be a good one right there. Weld it up, yeah. You know how tall that fence is going to be? 30 feet high. 30 feet high. You know what? I say if they make it over the wall, give them citizenship. Because they really want to. Praise God. But for those sissified ones, well, I might hurt myself if I try to get over that fence. I didn't think it was going to be that hard. That's high. I'm scared of heights. And they make me scared. I'm going home. See you later. We don't need you anyway. Well, we do. But we don't need that attitude. That's what I meant to say. We want everybody. But we want fence climbers, wall climbers. And you get up to 30 foot, now what am I going to do to get down on the other side? I can see them with a lasso. Throw the rope over, down on the other side. But it's going to take some effort and some strength and the right attitude. Amen. What are you living for God for? Why do you worship God? Why do you do the things that you do? Amen. Amen. It makes a difference tonight. It's going to make all the difference in the world. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you right now. God, I thank you for your blessing. I thank you for the truth, for all that you've invested in me. You did it because you wanted to. God so loved the world that he gave. And Lord, we can't make it unless we have the same spirit and attitude that you have. Make us like you. Put your spirit in us. Help us to serve you with joy and gladness. And if we fall short, help us to self-examine ourselves. And, oh God, that we might see the real reason, the real motive, the real purpose of why we're doing what we're doing. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, Amen, amen. And all I'm going to say tonight, I'm not going to say, let's worship the Lord. All I'm going to say is that if you worship God, you'll be blessed. Oh, praise God, praise God. Praise God, praise God. What does that mean? Five claps and a hallelujah? 10 claps and a praise the Lord and a thank you, Jesus? Is that what he meant by that? No. Amen. Just shoot your arrow. And he said, the deliverance of the Lord. The rest is up to you, your heart. And he smote three times. He said, you should have done it five or six. Should have just done it till you run out of arrows. Amen. Because the opportunity is right there before us. Amen. When your want to passes up, your have to. Praise God. Sing tonight.